Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to shows every Thursday at 8:01 p.m. and full shows online at wcbe.org. And after 10 years, I'm still reading that.
I know, I do it too. Let me see if I can do it. Cinema Classics is produced by Johnny DiLoretto and John DeSanto. See, I already did
see,
it
y'all, you'll put your name first.
Yeah, I put
no matter
my name
what.
First. No matter
left
what.
Left
to my own devices.
I don't let that happen.
Yeah, left to my own devices, I'll give myself top billing. Let me try again. Cinema Classics. I just can't do it. I got to read it. Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSanto and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to shows Thursday nights at 8:01
no,
p.m.
No, or and read reviews.
Read reviews. Okay, never mind. Forget it.
Okay, all right. We're...
This is Cinema Classics, obviously.
It is. And, you know, a writer named Biandra July. What a great name, huh?
Biandra?
Yeah.
Biandra?
Yeah, Biandra.
July.
Yeah.
That's a first name, Biandra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has an article which is entitled, I Love You Like As a Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about this summer and about what we used to look at as buddy films.
Okay.
We've certainly done probably 20 shows on buddy films.
Yeah, probably.
It feels
over
like
the years, yeah, right.
But anyway, she's talking about the kind of non-sexual films this summer of pairings, and some of them same sex.
I
thought this is
this
really
is very
intriguing.
Confusing to me.
Well,
what is the difference between that and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid or Midnight Run or Thelma and Louise?
There isn't, except now you have women in the mix, and you do have Thelma and Louise, mm-hmm. but those seem almost like discrete cultural oddities. Now, I think her, she's positing that this is happening all the time. Nobody is asking whether there's a sexual relationship. In fact, it's obviously not a sexual relationship. So let's start by talking about...
This is a murky.
Yeah, all right.
What paper was this published in?
What do you think?
I'm thinking it's the New York Times, and I'm thinking this is a flimsy...
I don't know.
This is
I like it.
A flimsy read to hang
because
an idea on.
Because starting out in the summer was Olivia Wilde's Book Smart.
Okay.
In which Amy and Molly are these nerdy, very bright high schoolers.
Yeah.
And it's almost as important as a romance, the relationship between them, but there is no suggestion of sexuality.
Right, okay, it's a movie about friends.
I got it. But what is happening here, I think, is that you're getting a substitute for romance without the sexual component. And I think that this, at least as a culture, we're accepting this much better. Let me give you another example,
yes,
right? Because I can tell you're skeptical.
Yeah, it's just... It's
in
like,
our old...
She's the, making a big thing. She's turning... It's a movie about friends.
in the cinema classics tradition, of course, we're all over Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as a bromance.
Yes.
I mean,
that's great.
This is no new territory
right.
for us.
Again, it's a movie about friends.
All right, okay.
It's a friendship.
You have the Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio.
See, I think what the mistake is, here's what I think the sticking point is. Oftentimes, take a movie like Midnight Run, De Niro and Grodin.
Right.
Classic road movie, one of the best buddy action movies ever made. Now, at first, these guys are at odds, right? Just like 48 Hours, Nick Nolte to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, yeah.
You got one guy who's this way, another guy who's this way. You put them in a car together. You send them across the country. And at the end of that trip, they're grown. They've grown. They've formed a bond or some kind of friendship. I think what this woman, this writer, is talking about is just, okay, so you take out the initial conflict, the initial personality conflict, and you just make a movie about friends.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you're making a movie about friends, there's no sex.
And I think maybe for this summer, and I think you're absolutely right. When I pulled this out for us to talk about, mm-hmm. I knew this would be our first comment. Hey, we've been doing bromances for ages.
Yeah, forever.
Right, and we've seen Thelma and Louise, so what big deal? There's one that she includes that I find really intriguing.
Okay.
The Farewell, the Chinese film.
Yeah.
About
the grandma. That
about
wanna,
grandma.
They tell would, grandma she's
and
dying.
Which Billy and Nai Nai's grandma,
okay.
have a very strong relationship. Mm-hmm. Again.
But is it central to that film?
Yes.
Is it the central relationship?
Well, the central part of that film is the conflict, the cultural conflict,
mm-hmm.
between the traditionalists who don't want to tell grandma she's dying.
Yeah.
And the kind of new age lady coming from America, who is Chinese American.
Yeah.
And she wants to full disclosure. So, but Billy and Nai-Nai form a friendship of that intensity, of that bromance intensity or buddy film intensity. And here you have, you know, 70 years in between uh-huh. the two of them. Actually, probably about 50 or 60 in between the two of them. Again, I may have misled us by even talking about a sexual component.
Right.
I think what Beandra would like to emphasize is here you have no romance, but you have very strong relationships, sometimes same sex.
Yeah.
With these,
yeah. Right.
Okay. The other one is, and I'm not sure you've seen it, The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
No, I haven't. I wanted to see okay. that. Yeah, okay. I missed that.
That's a very, very strong buddy film. It could have been sexual. It's not at all. It could have been. I mean, I think these two guys are so close that you could have transitioned this into a gay film without question.
Okay.
But it's not. It's not even close.
All right.
And what I like about it, therefore, is the authenticity of it.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of it, the strength of their bond, and in a new age now where there's no concern about people accusing them of being even subtly in love. They're not.
Okay.
They're just really strong friends.
Now, see, I see this last movie on your list here,
yes.
Late Night.
Yes.
With Emma Thompson.
And Mindy.
Mindy Kaling.
Yes.
That doesn't belong on here.
Sure does.
Now, here's the thing. This is what I'm talking about. Shoehorning. This is shoehorning this morning. It has nothing to do with their friendship.
You want to know what this is? It's the closest thing you have to
now,
a romance.
Now, what's interesting about it is that they give these very complicated women well-rounded, three-dimensional roles, right? Emma Thompson's character is combative. She's imperious. She's hard to get along with. You know, Mindy Kaling is this sweet, her sweet new writer
right.
on the staff. And really, it's like the dynamics of that narrative don't really feed into this. You know what I mean? Like, she is... I at this point, you could, again, this is when we were talking about every movie is about family. Do you remember that conversation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you scratch the surface of it, family is everywhere and movies.
Yes.
And I think this is an instance of that. If any time you're going to have a movie wherein two characters of the same sex reach an agreement about something or they actually like each other, then it fits into this writer's scheme.
Well, and let me
and you know what it sounds like to me is that Beandra July
right.
for the New York Times is a 23-year-old, fresh out of college writer who has zero historical perspective on cinema. That's what it sounds like to
anyway,
me.
Anyway, about Late Night, and we could probably end this discussion.
There hasn't been a discussion. It's you telling me what this lady thinks.
What I like about this example is that it parallels the typical romantic comedy that we've seen for so many years. They start out not liking each other, being completely different, to where they become compatible and supportive of each other to the end. I think there's an arc, a romantic arc there, that has nothing to do with romance.
I see.
Okay, is that all right?
Yeah, well, let's go back to Booksmart for a second.
Yeah.
What is the arc there? Because they love each other at the beginning, they love each other at the end.
They are like twins in the beginning. Again, there's no romance, just the two of these very bright girls.
Yeah.
They can sing and dance together.
Right.
They go to school together. They study. And so they have a lot of commonalities there that could have been a romantic arc.
Yeah.
But they're not. And there's no suggestion of that. Anyway, I think that what we have here is a more open society. And we have one where people are able to love each other as friends without there being
negative. Now, before we close, I got one. I have something to add to this. On Hulu.
Oh, all right.
There is a series called Pen 15.
Ah.
Pen 15. It's got Maya Erskine and Anna Conkel, these two comedians, these two actresses. And they play, they're both about 30 years old or so, but they play seventh grade versions of themselves in middle school. Everyone else is a kid.
Okay.
But they're these adults playing
Great.
Themselves
I love the
as
idea.
Kids. It is brilliantly funny, and it is a beautiful testament to this. It's just about their friendship.
Right.
And they are, you know, it is sort of like you can see a romance there that's not sexual. You know what I mean? Their
yes.
love for one another,
right,
the way
right,
they
right.
protect one another, their squabbles, their trials and tribulations. But it's all, at the end of it, in service of this beautiful friendship. Now that, I hope the Andrea July looks into.
You can count on it.
Okay. Mail it to her.
But the radio, National Public Radio paradigm here.
Yes.
Is our show. The supreme bromance.
That's
the
right. That's right.